You're listening to the Drummers Education Connection Podcast. Interviews with the greatest drummers in the business and roundtable discussions with industry leaders and teachers from around the globe to help provide performance, insight, and inspiration.
Watch me go. I can't do a garden weasel. I can't.
That's all right. You're doing it. You're doing it.
For days, but I can't.
Just do the weasel.
Yeah. I'm just a weasel.
What's up, everybody? Happy New Year to you. Thank you for joining us once again. We hope you had a really nice holiday, restful break, got to spend some time with friends and family. Appreciate all the good things you have going on in your life. I know I did. And I know you guys did because we were just talking about it. So welcome back to the Drummers Education Connection for our brand new year of 2025. And unfortunately, we don't have our friend Rick Stojak with us today. Rick's, I think he's visiting his mom again, but we wish him the best with his travels. And I am here. My name is Jeremy Steinkohler. I'm with my good friends and amazing drummers and just genuinely good people. Bart Robley from SoCal.
And howdy.
Chip Ritter from Tucson, Arizona.
Hello.
What
Chip is famous. Chip is famous, just in case you don't
Chip's
know.
Famous.
Look him up on the internet. You'll find him. Before we get started talking about setting goals for 2025, and I'm excited about this episode because it always invigorates me and makes me think a little bit about what my plans are for this year and what I hope to achieve and how to achieve it. But before we do that, I want to start with good things. Just to check in real quick, we always start with a little segment we call Good Things, and this is a chance for us to catch up. And we've been off for a couple of weeks, so it's a good chance to see what's been going on. Chip, what's been good for you, buddy?
Man, what's been good for me is I've finally moved into my new crib. I'm in my new house. I've got everything, both recliners that pick you up off the floor and get you standing, and they're just super cool. And I got my big-ass TV. And I got Netflix and Prime Video all dialed in, and everything's working. So I'm super stoked about my house that I moved into, man.
Man, that is a big, big deal. Congratulations.
It is, man.
It is. I'm a homeowner.
Yeah. Really big, man. That's a beautiful thing. Congrats.
It is. Thank you very much. How about you, Jeremy?
Is the brand a big-ass TV? Does it say that on the box?
Yes.
Big-ass TV.
It says that on the box.
BATV.
Cool. Oh, what kind of TV do
you have? I have a BATV.
BATV.
I am good, man. I had a really nice break. My son, Evan, was back from college for his first break. And so it was really, really great to hang with him. Spent 3 weeks. We did a lot of fun stuff and then a lot of just hanging out. We had two gigs together, which were both sold out. And he just played his ass off. And boy, did he sound great. And so, so fun and rewarding to play with him. So
that's awesome.
That was really cool. Oh, and this is exciting for me. I just had one of the albums I played on this past year with this terrific piano player named Erica Oba, the Erica Oba Trio, was selected as a top 10 jazz album from San Francisco for the year.
Wow.
So on music critics list. So that was kind of a nice honor to be included in that. Yeah. And that's pretty much it. How about you, Bart?
You know, man, well, first of all, congratulations on that, man. Let's not brush over that. That's awesome, man. That's Thanks. Really cool.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Good. Congratulations. And Chip, congratulations on the house and the BATV. That's awesome.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you know, I had a really nice relaxing break. Just kind of chilled out. I don't take a lot of like vacation time. I'm on vacation, but I'm in here banging on the drums or hitting the practice pad. So I kind of stepped away for a minute, which is rare for me. And Leah and I went and did a lot of fun stuff. We spent some nice time together at Christmas, New Year's, parade, the New Year's Day parade. We went up and saw in Pasadena the floats after the parade, and we went to the equestrian event beforehand and spent some time there. And, you know, just kind of hitting it hard now, back up again with the teaching, and things are up and running, and I've got a clinic booked for February. I'll be talking about that. I'm going to be on a podcast on Friday Acute Mania is the name of the podcast, and I'll be talking about my side project, The Ruins, and SMB, and everything going into 2025, and just kind of doing that thing, you know, just doing my drumming thing and working on some new stuff. So yeah. I have a new book that's just about done. I'll start plugging that more in the future. And I also am doing an album of just drum stuff. I've got a working title for it. I'm calling it Pocket Money.
I like it. Bart, yeah. you should put the link to the podcast in the comments. The one you're
going to get. You know what? I will. I'll grab that during the show and I'll put it in there. So yeah. So that's what I got going on.
You know, I was worried about that, Bart. As far as your new book, I was worried about that for a second. I thought to myself, will Bart be plugging the book? There you go. You're going to be plugging the book. So now I'm super relieved.
Bart's a professional plugger.
The hustler, man. The hustler. I'm taking notes.
I can't do anything else. Here, watch this. You know what? You know the vent hole in the top of your bass drum? Can you see this?
Oh, yeah.
He's going to plug it right now.
Look at that. I plugged it.
All right.
All kidding aside, Bart is a really good, really good hustler. We were at the PASIC convention this last November, and man, watching him in action was next level for sure. And that's part of why we have the sponsorships that we do. We're honored here to be promoting and sponsored by Aquarian Drumheads. We're all Aquarian artists, so that's a great thing. And speaking of which, we're going to be having our deck day in April at the Aquarian Warehouse, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. We also are newly sponsored by Audix Microphones, which we're very excited about, and in-ears. Yeah, they make in-ear monitors and earplugs, custom earplugs, and I just ordered my first set of IEMs from them. I'm super excited. Nice. And who else? Do we have any other sponsors right now that I'm missing?
We have Gretsch and Gretsch. We have Aquarian. And right.
Gretsch,
yeah.
Right. And Gretsch was generous enough to give us a snare drum for our deck, the Halls show in December. And my good friend Mark Rosenthal was the winner of that snare drum. So he just sent us a picture.
Congratulations, Mark. Yeah.
Mark, that's awesome, dude. Way to go. I hope you're enjoying that snare drum. That's really cool.
He loves it. He loves it.
Very cool.
So here today we're talking about 20 setting goals. And I love this episode because it always makes me feel, I walk away feeling like, okay, I got a plan. And we're happy to hear from you guys about what your goals are, what you're thinking about for the next year for you. And if you need any help thinking about that or focusing in on what you're trying to do, that's what we're here for. So I'm going to kick it down to Chip, and I'm going to ask you, before you tell us about what your goals are, when you think about setting goals for yourself, whether it's for a year or 6 months or whatever it is, what's your process?
My process is I imagine taking a magic wand and waving the magic wand and thinking money and time is no object. What would I really love to do? What would make my heart happy? Mm. And I just try to start writing down the things that would be fulfilling to me, and make sure that they're things that are exciting enough to get me up in the morning and keep me up late at night. That's my basic process of the setting of the goals.
Okay. So, okay.
And then I try to get a piece of paper. Mm. Well, then I get a blank piece of paper and I write down my goal in the present tense. I'm so happy and grateful. Like, one of my goals is to become a New Orleans drumming ninja. Mm. And so I'm so happy and grateful now that I've become a New Orleans drumming ninja by February 14th at 3 p.m. And then I write down the question, what would have to happen for this to be true? ? And then I brainstorm and I try to tap into infinite intelligence and just tap into the universe, and no answers are wrong. I just start writing answers and ideas out until I filled the whole page with different ideas about what would need to happen for that to be true. Either whether things that would come to mind, like practicing an hour a day or taking lessons from Jeremy Steinkohler or whatever it would happen to be. I just keep writing until I got a full page of stuff to go. And then I take that page and I try to condense it into realistic, smart goals, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound smart goals. I put those together on a piece of paper, and I try to take that and turn that into my to-do list for the day. So each day I'm working towards one of those bite-sized, smaller pieces of the main goal.
I like it. I like it a lot.
That makes sense. I don't know if that makes perfect sense. But
yeah, it does. When you, and it, since you're kind of touching on a lot of stuff there, I watched you and I talked a few times on the phone, and I watched you prepare for that breast cancer can stick it thing, Chip. And and I, you know, dude, watching you play that thing, that's one of those things where I was like, man, I'm so glad that guy's my friend. You know, I mean, seriously, you just slayed it. Did you? Is that, was that your process for that solo you played? Is that,
that was, that was my process for the solo. I waved a magic wand and said, what do I want to do for the Breast Cancer Can Stick a Drumathon X? And I thought to myself, I want to play the best drum solo I've ever played in my life, which is a huge goal for me, because I've done thousands of solos. What would be the best one I've ever played in my life? And I wrote that down, and I did the process of brainstorming things that I could do, what would have to happen for that to be true. And my singles would need to be faster. I'd need to be able to come up with the bass drum ostinato and learn how to play across the top of that and fill out the different parts of it and map it out and put it together and make it like a motivational impact curve, where you start off with a high note and you come back down, you go a little bit higher and then lower towards the end, and then you gradually build up to a big finale and things like that.
One of the things I liked in there that you said, what you said about breaking out down the bigger thing into something smaller, you know, you mentioned, oh, I need my singles faster. So I think it's really important when you're setting goals to have something that's measurable.
Yeah,
right?
Yes,
that you measurable. Achieve. Because, you know, you could say, like a lot of people say, I want to be a better drummer. Mm-hmm. Right. I want to be in better shape.
Well, what does that look like? Yeah,
exactly. Right. Exactly. Well, that's easy to want. Wanting is the easy part. Right.
Yeah.
So, but how would you know that you're a better drummer? Is it based on the gigs that you're playing? Is it based on how fast you can play your singles? Is it based on your fill vocabulary? You know, like drill down to figure out what it is you really, what that looks, how you define it. So that
what does better mean to you?
Yeah, right, right. Because otherwise, it's too general, and it's too general, unmeasurable, and therefore unachievable. Because you don't know what that's not a goal. Wanting to be better is not a goal, right? That's just a feeling.
Yeah,
you know, wanting to be playing X number of gigs, or making X number of dollars on a gig, or playing in this band, or playing with that person, or you know, those are specific goals that you can measure and make steps to get to.
That's why I like what Brian Tracy says about it. SMART goals, S-M-A-R-T, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Those are great.
Those are all good things to make sure that you're applying.
Yeah, but throw that in the comments, Chip. I'd like to look at that again later.
Is that a book? Right, what is that? What is that?
Brian Tracy. He's a motivational speaker and an entrepreneur, and he does a big thing about goal setting and stuff. And I just took a lot of what I do from his playbook, and it turns out that it works a lot better. Yeah. So, yeah, it works good.
That's another thing.
Hey, Rick says, Happy New Year, team. Sorry to miss the show. You all rock.
You rock, Rick.
Rick, we miss you, buddy. We miss you.
One of those, you know, so far in a couple of the things you mentioned, Chip, humbly, you mentioned taking lessons with me, which is, I'm honored for that. But, like, you also mentioned this guy who just wrote the book where you got some important information. I think it's really important when you're thinking about your goals you're setting, you know, your most important resource often is going to be other people.
Oh, yeah.
And so who, you know, along with writing down your goals, think about who can help me achieve those goals, right? So if you're wanting to be, if you want your singles to be faster, just using that as a random example, who do you know who's got really fast singles, you know, or is it an online guy who's got lessons on how to, he's got a whole program on how to get your singles faster, or is it your friend Trip Ritter who's already got monstrous hands, or Alex Cohen, who's like,
good Lord,
unbelievably fast.
Alex Cohen.
Or Ramon Montagnier, right?
No.
Some of these guys who are, right, go seek them out. Take a lesson. These guys are totally approachable, and say, hey, I know you've got the fastest singles in the land. That's one of my goals this year, is to get my hands faster. can you help? Of course they can help.
Yeah. What do you eat for breakfast? Yes, exactly.
Right. What kind of shoes do you wear?
Yeah, right.
What are your favorite Saturday morning cartoons? I need to watch those.
Fred Fisher. Yeah, right.
Oh, look at that.
Fred Fisher said, as the missus and I have a goal-setting meeting weekly.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Good for you guys, man. That's awesome.
Fred, that's part of why you guys are successful, man. I'm sure.
Yeah, totally.
That's really cool. Like,
focused on the prize all the time. And even though the prize keeps shifting or whatever, changing. Yeah. So be thoughtful. Don't just, when you think about goals, be very thoughtful and break it down as many levels as you can to what the specifics are. What does it look like for you to achieve that goal? What are the steps you need to take to get there? And who are the people that you can tap to help you get there? Now, understand, of course, that as you move and as you go through your process, your goals may change. Let's say you set your goal, I want to get my singles to 200. And then, you know, you get into it and you're like, wow, you know what? I realize that I can get to like 185, but 200, that's going to take me another, you know, 6 months. I don't have the time for that. Okay, that's fine. The target shifts. Or you're like 200, 6 months from now, you're like 200's a piece of cake.
Yeah.
Right? I want to be able to get to 250. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you change your target, change your plan. Understand that the closer you get oftentimes to your goal, the harder it is to get that last little bit. It takes all that extra work.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Right.
Yeah. It's like a tractor pull. The farther you go, the harder it gets.
Right. Know? Right.
That's another reason why smart's a good idea, to have that measurable, that achievable, realistic, you know what I mean? That relevant goal. Is it relevant to where I'm at right now? Does it really matter? If it's relevant, then you're going to be a lot more motivated to do the work and put the time in.
Right.
Right.
Right. It's got to connect. Bart, how about you? What talk about your goal setting process.
Well, I want to say this as a side note to it, and I've said this in past episodes in regards to goals. I believe in goals at the beginning of the year. I believe it, the goals throughout the year, but I definitely believe it's setting goals at the beginning of the year. I don't believe in resolutions, and you guys are probably tired of hearing this.
No, me too.
But you know, the thing is like, And I found this really funny. I have a beautiful gym here at the where we live, and I've been working out forever. I'm not Joe Buff guy or anything like that. That's not what I try to be. I just try to keep my heart pumping, you know, and try to you know, be in somewhat physically good shape. And it always cracks me up. I was down at, just by happenstance, I went for a workout on January 2nd. I didn't go on the first. It was New Year's Day, and Lee and I hung out. But I went in there on the second, and the gym was packed. I mean, there's people everywhere. I'm like, there's never that many people in here. Well, by yesterday, the sixth, I literally was the only person in the gym yesterday. I was the only person in there, you know.
Right.
And I was like, well, those resolutions are over. So, you know, people set resolutions and it just doesn't work, because you get in, you know, well, gosh, I gotta lose 10 pounds, you know, or whatever, you know, you get into the gym and you realize, wow, these weights are heavy. I don't want to be lifting these things, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you have to set goals and measurable goals. Like you said, Chip, I think that's huge. You know, am I going to be able to achieve this? Am I going to be able to achieve this in a timely manner? And what is the purpose of setting the goal? You know, we talked a little bit about that before we got on the show today. We have some things that we want to achieve with DEC. And sometimes the question is, well, what is it that we want to achieve this year? You know, it's that simple. Well, let's set that goal to come up with whatever we're aiming for, so that we know to aim for the darn thing.
Yes, set a goal to make a goal.
Yeah, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. And I liked Jeremy, you said it best. I love that you said that when you said, well, dig deeper. Let's dig a little bit deeper and see what we can see what we can find. Because I think sometimes, and not just to echo what you guys said, but yeah, it's so easy to go, well, I want to be a better drummer. Mm-hmm. Okay, me too. We all want to be better drummers, right?
Yeah.
So yesterday, and I would be, I'm going to see if I can find it while I'm talking. Jeff, man, who watches us, he put a thing on the artwork for today's show, and he was joking a little bit about his goals. And he goes, okay, see you guys there. I'm really looking forward to this episode. I have goals for 2025 and beyond. Be a better husband and father. I love that. You know what? Because, yeah, okay, well, how do you become a better husband? Man, I got a lot of, well, I've been working on that for a while, you know. And I think there again, what do I do to be a better husband? But just the fact that you're willing to put that out there, especially on social media. Hey, I want to be a better husband. Mine would have said, you know, I want to be a better husband, not such an asshole in parentheses. and a better father.
Step towards the goal.
There's the goal. That's working towards the goal. Just quit being an asshole.
Step one, shut your mouth.
Yeah.
Step two, buy flowers.
Spent a lot of money on flowers. I like this one, you know. Live with 100% integrity, he said. I don't even know what to say to that. That blows me away because it's hard to do that. It just is. For me, it is. Get myself a gig playing drums in a rock band where we're touring on a tour bus. Okay, that's cool. That's fun. That is cool, I have to say. I like that. Have a drum tech named Sven. I don't have a drum tech named Sven, but I got a roadie named Bart. Tom Petty wrote a song about it. And I want to have Yamaha drums, Paiste cymbals, Humes and Bergs, case endorsements. And I also want to start a pit bull rescue. Well, and I posted a picture. My wife and I have been rescuing pit bulls for years. We have a girl right now named Savvy Blue, and she's our new pit bull. We've had her for a few months now. And so if you want to do a pit bull rescue, buddy, give me a call. I got a lot of pointers there. We've been rescuing pit bulls for years. They're amazing animals. So I think starting a list, like Jeff said, okay, just I'm going to write, and Chip said, I'm going to write all this stuff down. Well, there's a lot in that post. Okay, you're going to have to take each one of those and, as Chip said, break it down. You know, what is going to... I'll start with the last one. It has nothing to do with drumming. How do I start a pit bull rescue? You know, how do I do that? What, you know, are pit bulls these monsters that everybody says they are, you know, and all these things, you know, you there's so many little things you have to do in there. So yeah, I think breaking it down is a good one.
How about you, Jeremy?
And a roadie named a drum tech named Sven. I got nothing. Sven. I don't even know where to start with that. I don't think I've ever met a Sven. Have you, Jeremy?
I haven't, but that's very specific.
See, Jeremy, you need to get that,
for
that specific
setting?
With everything.
You know, I tend to put a lot of thought into the goal thing because I don't want to disappoint myself in not achieving my goals. You know what I mean? So I try not to set unrealistic expectations about what I'm trying to do. So I think about, you know, small changes that are lasting being more the point for me than big pie in the sky stuff that it's too easy to fail at. You know, so I guess this is part of that realistic thing.
Mm-hmm. Do the small things add up to the big pie in the sky, though?
Yeah, well, they get you there. They get you part of the way there, if not all the way there, you know. So rather than saying, you know, I want to lose 10 pounds, you know, I might say, I want to cut back on how many days of the week I eat dessert. You know, so I know that that's not going to lose me 10 pounds in an instant, but I know that that's a healthier living eating habit that's going to contribute to better health and losing weight
in the right direction.
Right. And it's something that I can measure and be, you know, realistic about. And it's not, you know, not trying to do too much too quick or whatever, because that just leads to disappointment. So, you know, one of my students is a personal trainer, and we trade personal training sessions for drum lessons, which is great.
Oh, cool.
It's awesome. And we've been kind of out of the loop together for a few months because of holidays and gigs and different stuff. So we're getting back into that. So I'm excited to be reconnecting with her and starting to do some personal training stuff and get back in better shape. We have a deck day planned in April, which is going to be our third in-person event. That's going to be down at Aquarian Drumheads in Orange. And one of my goals is to make that, you know, to increase the number of people that attended and increase my game in terms of the quality of the clinic that I present. I'm also applying to present at PASIC this next year. One of my goals is to get that, to be chosen to present a clinic at PASIC in Indianapolis in November. So that's due in a couple weeks, and I'm working hard on putting that together. And, you know, all you can do is prepare and, you know, send it out and get advice from people who have done it successfully and then let the chips fall. And I figure even if I don't get it, I will have improved myself from the process of putting together this clinic presentation. So I know that even if I don't get the gig presenting at PASIC, I will have gotten myself closer to it. And I will have a clinic that's even tighter and more and better, more of value to the people that attend, that I could do present at deck day or elsewhere.
I have a question in regards to something you just said, and I'm going to present it to both of you. You said, you know, you got to get better and then put it out there. Okay. And I think this really has to do with, setting the goal, achieving the goal, and then letting it be its thing.
Right.
Okay, I have a drum album that I'm working on. There's one song that has bass on it and stuff, but the album is drumming stuff, and it was inspired by a record that Carmine Appice did of the same type of thing. And I know what my goals are of not only just getting the songs recorded, but how to go about putting out the album. I'm also working on a goal to I'm going to basically do the same clinic down here at Aquarian this year that I did up in the Bay Area last year, because it'll be different for down here. And so I'm going to do basically the same thing, but I want it to be better. Again, I want it to be more informative. How can I get the students to do A, B, C, and D during my 45 minutes? Mm-hmm. The question is to both of you guys, okay, you're putting a record out or you're putting a clinic out or you're going to play a drum solo at the Breast Cancer Can Stick It, whatever. When you put it out there, how do you let it live and let it be, okay, I've reached my goal, here it is, and then live with it? Do you ever, and maybe this is a different subject, but do you worry about when you're putting it out there, do you worry about the outcome of what it will be once it's out there?
Great question.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't, but I also try to remember that those are things that there's a certain extent to which I can't control
what
happens, right?
Well, for instance, you have an album out that just won, save the award that it won again, or that
was selected as a top 10 Bay Area jazz album for 2024.
Right. Okay. So, perfect. Was that in your mind when you were recording the record?
Not in the least.
Wasn't even something we were aiming for. It just here's what it is, and it happened. Okay. Perfect.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that, you know, those are, when you set goals, you want to be mindful of the things that are in your control and the things that are not in your control. Mm. And so you can if you're putting out an album, you know, you can say, oh, I want to have the goal of it being, you know, whatever, but winning X award, you know, the drummer of the year award, whatever. Right. And that's a terrific thing to want. There's nothing wrong with that. But the only you can't control whether you win the award. You can control the quality of the album. You can control the people you hire to play on it and the production and all that stuff. And, you know, to the best of your ability, again, the quality of what you put out there. What happens once it's out there, that's all beyond your control.
Yeah.
And so, you know, don't get too hung up on those external validation results.
Thank you.
Because, you know, they're nice when they happen, but they're very, very subjective, number one, and at some of them. And also, it's beyond your control. And so, you know, there's so many things tied into a lot of those awards and whatnot that are all messed up and, you know, who you know and, and all that stuff. Right time for the right thing. You know, you just got to act with intention, you know, and I don't mean intention of winning the prize. I mean, intention of just doing the best that you can do with what you're engaged in. So if it's putting out an album or putting a clinic together or starting a dog walking business, you know, like just put your energy into it with intention of doing something that is of quality. Right. So don't just do it half-ass and, you know, do your work so that what you do, what you put out there into the world is of good quality.
And before I throw my two cents in there, I totally agree with that. And I didn't mean to interrupt you there, Jeremy. I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chip, what's your idea on that? What's your idea?
I think expectations are kind of like planting a resentment. You know, the idea that we have this goal, I'd like to back up a little bit, like before you attain the goal, when you have that goal specifically set, like I want to become a super ninja New Orleans drummer, then you have all these things that about how that could happen. And you have all these great ideas about your next steps. The thing to do is just to focus on the very next step and not try to control how that evolution will come to pass. Mm. Because a key that I've gotten caught up with before is once I write down my big plan for the goal, is that all of a sudden it's got to happen this way. And you have to be open for the universe to come in and do its thing. You know, the same way with having achieved that goal, now that the Stick Tricks DVD is a reality, it's out there. It's going to be a bestseller or it's not. I can't control that. All I can do is put it out there and believe that, you know, I did do something that the world needed in some way or somebody found useful in some way.
Both of you guys hit the nail on the head for the way I feel with that. Because I get this question from students a lot, and I think that people, and I've seen it with musicians that I work with, like I'm writing a song for a specific reason for this. And I mean, you can do that. There can be, hey, I need a theme song, and everybody throw in their stuff, and okay, here's the best one will win the theme song for the TV show. Okay, let's say. I get that. But I think we have I love what you said, Chip, that when you know, setting an expectation for success on something is like planting a resentment, because if it's not successful, then you're going to get resentful about it. You know, well, I tried my best and I this and I that, and you can't, I don't think you can do that. I think if success success is something that follows in the wake of a ton of hard work. I mean, you know, and I know a lot of people think, well, I'll be successful. And Jeff, you said, you know, I want to be in a rock band on a tour bus. And, you know, okay, I get that. And a lot of guys want that. Well, I want to play with a named artist. I want to be in a rock band with a tour bus and all that stuff. Everybody would love that. The problem with that is that if that's what, and I'm not knocking your, please don't take it that way. I'm not knocking that. You have to remember, though, if you get that and you get the rock band and you're in the tour bus, well, you got to live there now.
Right.
some of those people on that tour bus might just be assholes. Well, that sucks. It sucks.
Be careful what you wish for sometimes, yeah. Right? Because sometimes you think about this glamorized version of some reality that's just in your imagination. So you say, and I, not to... to give Jeff a hard time, but like,
not at all.
Something like, oh, I want to be in a band that's on a tour bus. And then you're there and like, oh, wow, this is miserable.
Right? Well, it's miserable. No. You don't agree with somebody on whatever.
That's a goal based on these sort of external circumstances that you imagine validate the thing that you're wanting. And so just be careful about looking for that externally validated situation or reality.
And there's nothing wrong with going for that.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, he could also end up with a drum tech named Steven, not Sven.
And that would fuck
maybe the way the universe wants to work.
Right. That's right. That's right. Sorry.
Nobody wants a Steven drum tech. They want a Sven.
I think that's the difference between that's the fine line that you have to do when you're clarifying your goal. You want it to be clear in your head so your subconscious can focus on what that outcome looks like. You want to get really detailed and visualize that goal.
Drummers, have you ever worked with a guitar player who owns an extremely high-end acoustic guitar and they shove a pillow in the sound hole to dampen overtones? Of course not. So why would you do that to your kick drum? The Aquarian Superkick line of bass drum heads is an industry bestseller and a favorite among drummers, drum techs, and recording engineers who want a musical control bass drum sound without the use of blankets, pillows, or external muffling. The patented floating muffling system uses a narrow band of acoustic felt for a pre-dampened yet natural sound, eliminating unwanted high-end frequencies and boosting low-end punch. Often imitated but never duplicated, the Aquarian Superkick delivers superior tone control without all the extra work.
But at the same time, you don't want to try to visualize every step of the way. You want to visualize myself going to practice for those BPMs and visualize the 200 goal. But in between those two, you have to allow for some flexibility for the universe to kind of move.
Yeah, that's true. And I think one other thing that I would be remiss if I didn't throw this in here at that point of what you just said. I think along the way, for all the smaller goals for the main goal, you have to be grateful. I watched, Matt Starr is so great at putting out those videos all the time and all of his stuff that he does. And the guy really is in his sweetheart of a guy. He said gratitude is the grease. And I love that. I absolutely love that. If you're not grateful for, okay, I'm Chip Ritter and I'm gonna play the breast cancer constricted, drumathon, and I have not only a place to practice, but I got two drum sets that I can practice on, and I can practice on the student kit so that I'm good on a fit. I mean, dude, you have to be grateful for that, because I remember, because there was a point in my life where I wasn't grateful. And then all of a sudden things start going weird, and it's like, well, what is this? Why is this happening? Well, because you were an asshole and you weren't grateful. Be grateful for what you have. Be grateful that you woke up today and that you can go practice your drums.
Yeah. I have some drum students that still don't have drum sets. And sometimes I sit there and I think to myself, it's like, wow, we got to get them a drum set. And I have an anonymous benefactor who kind of steps in every now and then and fills the gap and gets them a drum set. But, some of them still don't have drums, and I lose sight of that. Sometimes I figure, man, I've got two drum sets. That's something to be grateful for. Not everybody has a drum set to be a drummer in the first place.
Right. Jeremy, you were going to say something.
Fred made a good comment about something I wanted to come back to a little bit. He said, if you do the work and take the right steps, you don't have to worry about the outcome.
Very true.
And I think another way of putting that is that, you know, if you focus on the process, you don't have to worry about the product quite as much, right? Mm-hmm. So like, the process is where the magic happens. And those are the, you know, the process is what you can control.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all.
And well, no, yeah, and it's, like, go ahead, Chip.
I was just going to say, what you can control is like, am I going to show up today for this?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Am I going to suit up and get out of bed and get to the practice session and get to the practice goals? And, you know, and make the moves and make the phone calls or send the email, take a deep breath and just pull the trigger and start hitting balls out of the park.
And that's showing up to do the hard work. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I probably should have. I just thought of this. You ever seen those practice pad minis?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was given one over the Christmas break. A friend of mine, he has a drum studio over in Riverside, and he goes, here, have one. He said it much better. He had a really cool English accent. Hey, mate, have this, you know. It's really cool. And it's the size of a quarter. It reminded me of when Garibaldi was on the show. It's little. And I set a goal for myself. I can't believe I didn't think about it. To get through page one, the first page of Stick Control, and play the thing without dropping a stick. It's art. Yeah, come on. Yeah. You know, and so I have my metronome set to 60 beats a minute. I'm thinking eighth note. It is really hard to do that. And then, okay, now I'm going to try it a second. Same thing, 60 beats a minute, but I'm going to do 16th notes. You get down to, you know, the paradiddle or the inverted paradiddle and the stick falls, you know, because it's the size of a quarter. It is really hard to play one of those things. And so, yeah, showing up and doing the work. Why is that important to me? I don't know. Is it gonna make my drum solo any better? I don't know. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But my goal is to be able to get through that first column and play this darn thing. And
you have to believe, but to bother taking on a project like that, you have to believe that that's a piece in the puzzle of your goal,
yes,
a place you're trying to get to.
Very much.
Your accuracy, sure. Your control. Okay, yep. Those are broad, big, general goals. But I know that sitting there doing Stick Control at 60 BPM on this, you know, silver dollar size practice pad is going to help me, you know, make my way toward better accuracy, better control, all that stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, I believe, exactly. As a drum teacher, I believe that any pad work, any rudimental pad work always finds its way into the rest of your drumming. It's always a benefit. It's always a plus. It's always a wise, yep, investment.
Very true. 100%. There's never going to be a time when you sit down and go, I know I'm going to play line three from Stick Control in a very tight environment on my snare drum. It's not going to happen. You know, it's just not going to happen. But that will find its way into your playing. So that goal of just getting through that first column without dropping a stick, it reaps dividends.
This is why taking lessons is so important. I had a guy I met over the break who I sold some drum cases to, Craigslist or whatever it was, and really nice guy. And we started talking and ended up talking for 20 minutes, of course. And he took a lesson with Garibaldi, and he walked away from it kind of, at first he said, very discouraged. And, you know, David said to him, yeah, you should really take some lessons, find yourself a teacher and take some lessons. And he took that as like a, you know, an insult sort of. And then he said, but he sat, you know, after he sort of got over the hurt feeling about it, he thought about it. And he was like, no, he was exactly right. Like, you know, I went to him for this one-off lesson. What are you hoping to get in one lesson that's going to change your drumming, right?
Yep.
Even if it doesn't matter who it is, or the Oracle, you know, Buddy Rich, you know, maybe you get one little nugget of a takeaway, maybe, if you're lucky, from a lesson like that. But a private teacher can help you figure out where your weaknesses are, what you need to work on, why you need to work on it, show you why you need to work on it, show you the path to get
there. Share your goals with, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and then here's the plan, and here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to help you, a coach. I'm going to be with you every step of the way and coach you once a week, and that's how you achieve your goals. You know, you need a helper, a mentor, or a teacher.
I think it also, and maybe this is going into a different subject matter, but I think that having a private teacher makes you, well, it makes you set a goal for having your lesson prepared every week for that teacher, you know, because, right. because I know when I take lessons, you know, or my students, hopefully when they take lessons, they always come prepared. Or when I know for me, when I go to a lesson, I don't want to not be able to play or at least give a reasonable facsimile thereof of the part that I'm trying to play for my teacher,
right.
you know? And so that in and of itself is helping you set that goal. And I think that that is so, so incredibly important. You really hit the nail on the head. When I was studying, my first lesson that I took with Bissonnette, I went to his place and we were doing some Latin stuff, and man, I walked away for about a week, about three or four days, let's say, not a week, about half a week, where I was just deflated. And I ran into one of my friends at a studio I used to teach at called Music Learning Center. His name is Matt. He's a bass player. And he said to me, he goes, man, what's wrong? And I told him, I took this lesson with Bissonnette, and it just didn't go well. I just, you know, I couldn't play this thing. He goes, well, can you play it now? I go, oh, I'm working on it. But he goes, well, how long did it take you to get there? And I go, man, he lives way up in the valley, you know. Took his traffic, L.A., so like 2.5-3 hours to get there. How much was the lesson? Oh, it's, you know, $200, you know. And how long did it take you to get home? Oh, it took me an hour to get home, you know, less traffic coming home. But still took me. So you took half of a day. You spent all that money. What would happen if you got up there and you played your butt off and kept up with him? That would have just been two guys hanging out playing drums together. You'd have gone through all of that. And I mean, dude, come on, you took a lesson. And I was like, yeah, you're right, you know? And so I kind of soul searched that. Well, I went back for another one. I went back for another one. And I was like, okay, I really, really, really got a lot out of that because I couldn't do what he told me to do. By the end of our third lesson, I could do it. So at that point, I didn't see it as a goal. I just saw it as a, at first as like this, it was an ego thing. You know, it was, right. it just was. It was a total ego thing. Right. And then you all of a sudden you realize, well, that's kind of stupid. Yeah. So I think maybe a goal can be letting go of your ego, you know, and just how do I go about getting better? You know, how do I do that? You know, well, letting go of the ego and finding a good drum teacher and helping you set those goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that makes sense.
It also helps. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And when you're trying to achieve your goals that we're talking about setting for 2025, it also helps to remember to be present in the process and really like try to enjoy the journey, not just the destination. Like, look, I'm working towards this. This is me working towards it. This is me accomplishing smaller goals, bite-sized pieces of the main goal, which is going to make me happy, but it doesn't mean I'm not happy on the way. I can be happy on the way to achieving a goal. Mary Wilson from the Supremes had lunch with my mother one time. She had lunch with us, and I asked her if she had any advice for me for my career. Do you have any advice for me? And she goes, learn to celebrate the small moments. Learn to celebrate the small little victories, not just when you get a big record deal, but everything's happy, and then 3 days later you're miserable because your next goal is so far away. But to learn how to really enjoy the process of attaining that.
I love that. Thanks for sharing that story. My belief is that honestly, really, when it comes down to it, the process is all you have.
Yes.
That's all there is. Because whenever you reach a goal, you know, the horizon keeps receding. You know?
The horizon always will recede. You know, you nailed it. Yeah, it will.
Yeah, you're never done, and that's the whole thing. Is just you have to enjoy the process, because if you don't, and you're just totally fixated on arriving somewhere, you're not going to end up fulfilled. You're not going to end up feeling happy.
You know, and sometimes when we go back to okay, I want to be in a band, and I want to be on a tour bus, and I want to do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I would advise people to think about some of those stories, though. Okay, let's you know, you can point to this band, you know, whoever, you know. And the story is always the same. When you watch it, you watch the behind the scenes thing, you know, mm-hmm. we were young. We did A, B, C, and D. We got a record deal. We got in the bus. We worked nonstop for 5 years. We didn't have the millions of dollars that we thought we were going to have. We hated each other. I punched the guitar player in the mouth.
Right.
I slept with the singer's girlfriend, and now we hate each other, but we still tour because it's the only way we can make money.
Right, right.
You know, and I know I'm really broad brushing there, but not yeah. really. Go watch a series of behind the music scenes.
That's like 4 out of 5. Yeah, yeah.
It's all the same story, you know? I mean, so I really do believe that being grateful and having that the gratitude that, hey, you know what? Every day I wake up and I try to, you know, I'm a person of faith, and I say a prayer every day, first of all, thanking God for the breath that is in my lungs. And I always ask that, you know, that the people that I come in touch with, whether it be on deck or a drum student or my wife or my neighbor or whoever, that somehow I can help them and that they would see God through me or in me, that I'm trying to be the best version of me that I can be. I just am. And I fail miserably, but I really try. And I think having the gratitude, again, back to what Matt said, and having the gratitude that, man, I have got this fantastic drum set. I've got this great Sabian cymbal. I love the cymbal. It sounds so great, you know? And even the one down there that's louder, and I always have to EQ this side of the drum set because of that cymbal. It sounds so great, you know, whatever. There's always going to be a negative. But being grateful, I think, is a big thing. So no matter what your goals are, be grateful along the way for every step.
It's a mindset. It's a mindset thing. And it's really, really easy. Often I find the path of least resistance is sort of the lazy mindset that is complaining, or, you know, that is finding yourself a victim of why your goals haven't been reached, right? Oh, the, you know, I did everything right, but, you know, everything else went wrong against me. And
the people that, you know, well, I don't have any money because of corporations and banks and the president. Right. And that, look, the president has nothing to do with your money. The corporations don't have anything to do with your money. The banks hold your money. They you know, look, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a drummer. I am my own best commodity. And it's up to me to make as much money as I possibly can if I'm chasing after money. You know, if you're blaming everybody else for all of your things you don't have, I mean, I'm gonna blame Boeing because I don't have a Learjet. Come on,
right? Yeah. So there was
I used to
go to this gym, and there was a trainer that it was like a group, you know, sort of a, what do you call it? What's that popular one called these days? Come on. CrossFit, right?
Oh, CrossFit.
It was kind of like that. It was like classes. And there was this trainer there, and, you know, he'd work us brutally hard. And, you know, he'd say, okay, we're going to do this drill now. And it was like, And he would frame every single thing as an opportunity. Okay, we're going to do 10 more push-ups or whatever. Okay, you have 10 more opportunities. Okay, 7 more opportunities. And it was kind of, at first I was laughing, like, oh, yeah, he's calling these really hard grunt work opportunities. But I was like, oh, wow. It kind of, after enough repetitions, it sunk in on me, like, everything I'm doing here is an opportunity.
Yep.
If I think about it like that, as a chance to put my best effort in to make a good rep happen in this one little moment, and then to have those moments add up and accrue and build toward my getting in better shape and being able to do a better push-up.
Like you said, like Jeremy said, it's a mindset. It's also about perspective. You know, I was shopping my idea for a Stick Tricks DVD to different labels and publishers at NAMM, and nobody would touch me. I couldn't catch a break, and I was really upset about this, and I was bitching to Mike Dorfman on the phone one day in the parking lot of Sticks and Strings about how I can't believe they don't see my vision. These guys suck and they're trying to hold me down and because I'm not a rock star and blah, all this stuff. And Mike Dorfman cut me off and he cut into me and he said, you know what, Chip, Nobody's going to do your DVD for you. Nobody's going to make this DVD for you. You're either going to make it or you're not. It's up to you. And I got off the phone. I was really upset. But like Jeremy said, after I got over the hurt, I started seeing what he was talking about, that it's up to me to make this happen. So I started that day out of my trunk and I made a DVD. I learned the video edit. I mean, I did all the things that required for me to have that DVD. And finally, when I got it ready, I sent a thing off to Mel Bay and said, hey, I've got this. I'm going to come out with it no matter what. I'd love you to be a part of it, but this DVD is releasing this summer. You know, and they came back and they said, we want to be a part of it. And then boom, I was signed. And it was like,
there you go.
You've got to be able to have that perspective. Because if I couldn't get out of that mindset that everybody's against me, all these things are breaking the wrong way, what's the point? Why even get out of bed? Then I'm not going to be able to get myself motivated to take an opportunity for a push-up or something like that. You
right,
know?
Right, right, right. Yes, metaphorically, well, totally.
Nobody is against, you know, I'm speaking to myself, talking into the mirror here, because I think we all, you know, if we're honest, I know for me, I can go negative like that. I just, you know, I can't. I think we all can. But when I look at myself in the mirror, I have to be brutally honest and say, nobody's against me except for me, right? Nobody's trying to hold me back. There's not one person on the face of the planet that doesn't want me to become a millionaire or wants me to become the greatest drummer in the world or want, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it is that I'm trying to achieve. So it's up to me. And Chip, you're right. It's up to you. It was up to you to get that DVD done. You know,
yeah.
I remember when I worked so hard on my first book, The School of Hard Rocks. And I was really discouraged because at the time, this was back in the Stone Age, you know, the program that I was using, you could only have certain lines that you could put note heads in. And it didn't come out exactly like I wanted. But I was like, forget it. I'm going to put this thing out. And I got the book done, right? It was done. And I had all the pages collated the way I wanted them and everything. And it's this big, huge three-ring binder, right? Just the hideous thing. And so a friend of mine introduced me to a publisher, who is still my publisher, Ron Middlebrook, for my hard copy stuff. And I took it to him. I go, here's my book, you know. And he goes, oh, this is great. Yeah, I like it. I like it. Yeah, this is great. Call me when it's done. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's done, you know. I still had to do the layout, the artwork, the cover, the back cover, the forward. I had in my mind, kind of like maybe like you did, Chip, I had a vision that, okay, here's my book, now you run with it. No, I had to finish the whole thing and then hand it to him.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, yeah, I'll take care of the printing and get it out there for you, you know? And truth be told, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people realize, you know, in the music business nowadays that record deals are a thing of yesterday. You know, I mean, there are still record deals, but like really good record deals that make, you know, that sell millions and millions and millions of units is not as viable as it used to be. So it's really up to the artist to record the album, to put the album out, to do the artwork. It's and you do have more control over it, but you don't have a big, you're not in debt to a record label either, you know? So I don't know. Setting those goals to finish a project, a book, a record, a DVD, whatever, those have got to be, you know,
yeah.
Don't,
the other thing.
Jared say? What did he say?
What's that?
In the comments.
James Harrison says, yep. Every person has a different level of drive. Some will not reach goals because they're not driven. Everyone is eager but not driven.
Yeah.
And I think like I'd like to tag on top of everything else that we said about this is when you're setting goals for 2025. Don't forget the goals you set and achieved before in the past. Yeah. Remember your success. You've done this before. You can do this. You are capable. You're qualified. You know, sometimes I'll sit in the parking lot before I teach lessons and I'll sit there and I'll feel like such an imposter. Why would somebody even ever want a lesson from me? Blah, 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 blah. All this goes through my head and it's like, wait a second, hold on. I'm qualified. I've got years of experience. I've done this, I've done that, I've done this, I've done that, and then go through my achievements and try to pick myself back up and try to get into that positive frame of mind where it's like, you know what? Now I'm somebody in this state of being. I'm a drum teacher that somebody would want something from, would want to be around and be inspired by just by hanging out with. So it's kind of cool. When you think about it, your past successes, even though that DVD was really hard for me to make, I did the DVD. It stands the test of time. It was a really good achievement for me. And I love the fact that I made it happen. I'm really glad that happened.
So thank you all. Thank you, Chip. That's love hearing your stories always. We're running out of time here, but I wanted to circle back and just sort of do a quick 30-second recap of some of the important topics we covered today. I know some of you guys came on late today. We talked about the importance of setting goals that are, Chip used a great acronym that he got from a book called SMART: specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. So being really thoughtful and intentional about how you set, what goals you set that are achievable and measurable and are relevant to what you're doing and where you want to go. Commitment to the process, letting go of the concern about the results so much. Mm-hmm. What else do we say?
We said to be positive, be grateful. The gratitude is the grease.
Gratitude. Yes, that's right. Gratitude, the other key ingredient.
And to celebrate the small victories and to enjoy the process, not just wait to be happy for the goal to achieve, but enjoy and try to enjoy the process and the opportunities of each push up along the way.
Right, and looking at every difficulty as an opportunity. Right.
I think you know, a good teacher too will, you know, I know for me, everything that we're talking about here are things that I have to practice too. You know, I mean, they're all, we're all in that same club together.
Well, it's like you need to be reminded every day, you know, because it's really easy to sink into that other mindset of defeatism and, I'm a victim and everything's set against me and I suck and all those things.
Oh yeah. That's it. And a lot of times that's maybe an artist mindset, if you will. It's really easy to get into that. Right. And because we are we're in an industry where everybody's going to compare themselves to everybody else. You know, my favorite drummer is, you fill in the blank. Well, can you play like your favorite drummer? Well, not really. No matter how good you are, you're going to compare yourself. And so, not allowing yourself to slip into that. It's important.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us once again. Great conversation with you guys. I know I got a lot out of today. We'll see you back here next week. Thanks to our sponsors, In-Ears Audio, Gretsch, Aquarian Drumheads, and
Audix
Microphones.
Microphones.
Yep. All right. Thanks, you guys. Have a great week and good luck.
Thank you, guys. Rick, we missed you, buddy. We missed you.
Have a great week.
Play us out, Bart.
Oh,